Well, today we'll be talking about the dream here at Good News Church. Be talking about vision and mission that we have for this ministry. But before I do that, I want to lay a scriptural foundation. I've got several scriptures to share, and because how many know that God's got a dream? He's got a purpose, and He's got a plan, and He's got something that He's orchestrating in the earth. And if what we're doing here does not fit in with that, then what do we have? Unless the Lord builds the house, what does it say? They labor in vain. And I don't want to be laboring in vain. I want to be right in the middle of what God is doing in the earth. So let me lay some foundation here of what He desires. Turn your Bibles over to Matthew 28. And if I could read, you know, two main scriptures of what He's doing, I would say it would be John 3:16. And it would be here, Matthew 28. I mean, John 3:16 is the heart of the gospel and what God desires. He wants people to live and not to perish. He wants people to have eternal life. He wants people to know Him. But in here in Matthew 28, he kind of expounds on that and what's His plan for those that know Him. And this is the, you know, the last thing that He shared with His disciples. And so I believe, you know, one of the most important things that He desired for His disciples. So, Matthew 28, verse 18, call this the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Think about that. All authority has been given to me. Jesus is saying that. In heaven, not and on earth. All authority in the universe. And then at this moment, in this one word, He delegates it back to us, to His body. Because we are the body of Christ in the earth. He's no longer, you know, walking the shores of Galilee and walking in Jerusalem and laying hands on people and casting out devils. No, we are His body. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are His mouthpiece. And so He says, "Go, therefore." So at that moment, the authority that's been given to Him, that he won, we talked about that, winning with the authority, all authority, He then delegated it back to us. And now we're the ones with the authority. And we have His backing. Go into all the world. But see, there's a purpose to this authority. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. No, excuse me, wrong text. Now you know where I'm going here. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples. Testing the sound people back there. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am always with you, even to the end of the age. Amen. It says to make disciples. Now, what is a disciple? We could probably go around here and get a lot of definitions of what a disciple is, but we'll just give a brief definition. I'm going to start a discipleship series in February, which may go on for some time. But basically what a disciple is, it's a follower of Jesus. A follower of Jesus. But not just someone that's in God's family and not just some folks that maybe know some of the privileges, but following Jesus with the intent to imitate Him. To be like Him. And now if I had an accounting business and I brought someone in to be my disciple, I would be teaching them, I would be training them with the intent to do what I'm doing. And if it was my son or someone that I really cared about, I didn't want to teach them in such a way that they would outdo me, right? I mean, if it's, you know, the kind of father or leader, you want them to outdo you. And so that's what a disciple is. Now, we have a huge discipleship problem in the body of Christ today. And I can't speak for the church in Kenya or Ireland or China or any other place. I can only speak as a pastor that lives in the United States. Now, I have some knowledge and connected with people that are all over the world, but I can only speak for, the United States. We have a discipleship problem. We may have a lot of churches and a lot of preaching and teaching going on, but in the big scheme of things, we have very few disciples that are imitating Jesus. And see, that has got to change. This is a dream of God. This is the desire of God. And leaders and believers and churches, we have to do something to change this. And, I use the word revolution. That's really what we need. And it's kind of sad that we say we have to have a revolution within the church. But we do. We need a revolution. We need a revival. We need to get back to our roots back in the book of Acts. And we need to make disciples and do a better job of making disciples. Now, over in Mark 16, you already knew I was going there. Mark 16, verse 15. And I like to read Mark 16 with the Great Commission because it mentions the believers. Because part of the whole discipleship problem that we have is, if this goes back, years and years and years, is the believers are looking to the ministers to do the work of the ministry. And Mark 16 doesn't say that. And this is part of the revolution that has to change, is the disciples. I'm a disciple, you're a disciple. If you're a follower of Christ, you're a disciple. And each one of us has to take our responsibility for the Great Commission. And that's what's got to happen. We've got to take our responsibility. We've got to be in the game. We have to know we're a part of the game. We have to know what part we play. And take it as seriously as any Christian leader takes their calling. That all of us are called. Everybody say, I'm called. Say, I'm called by God. I'm called by God to do something great. Ephesians talks about praying and knowing the hope of our calling. We're to be praying that for ourselves and for each other, to know why we're here, to know our purpose. And so we've been talking about this year, I hope the Lord has been showing you things and giving you snapshots and glimpses of why you are here. He's got a plan for your life. Mark 16, verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes... Do I have any believers? If you're a believer, raise your hand. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow the pastor. These signs will follow the apostle. These signs will follow the great man or woman of God. My Bible says it'll follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Who will do that? The believers. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. It's not talking about handling snakes. It's talking about His protection. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. See, believers have a part, I would say the main part, of the Great Commission. Not a sideshow or a small part. It's the main part. But that's not the way we've, in our hearts, and the way we've seen it, and for whatever reason, religion has gotten in there, and we've gotten off track, and we've got to get back on track. And if we get it right, then I believe we can get our job done and go home. Who's ready to pack it in and go home? But we've got to get our job done. There's a lot to do. There's a whole lost and dying world out there that needs to be reached. Verse 20 says, and they went out, who? The believers. And preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs. The same signs that followed Jesus' ministry followed them when they preached the word. Same signs will follow you when you share the word. Now let's go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Laying the foundation for the vision and the mission of Good News Church. Ephesians chapter 4, and you know, this is so obvious, I don't know how we've missed this. Ephesians 4 verse 11. Now these are the gifts Christ gave the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Has anybody here heard that phrase, fivefold ministry? Have you heard that? What are they talking about? Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers. I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. It says, their responsibility. Their responsibility is to equip God's people. Who are God's people? The saints, the believers, the church, the body of Christ. To do His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be matured in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown away by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. That's what needs to be happening with the believers and the ministers and everybody else. And so we're changing the fivefold ministry to the sixfold ministry. Everybody say sixfold ministry. Say the fivefold ministry is gone. Or maybe better say this. We'll change this. The fivefold ministry phrase is gone. And we now have the sixfold. This is historic. Mark it down. No longer fivefold ministry, sixfold. Now point at yourself and say, I'm in the sixfold ministry. And you need to know that you're in the ministry and you're called by God. At Oral Roberts University, we're taught to go into every man's world. Whether you were full-time ministry, meaning, you know, your income came from ministry, but we're all in the ministry. 2 Corinthians 5 says that we've been made ambassadors for Christ. And we have to walk in our calling as an ambassador for Christ. We need to be trained, we need to be taught, we need to be equipped to walk in our calling. Who is the head of His body, the church? He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Each part does its own special work. Right now, we just have just a small part really doing the work of the ministry. Each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And I'll just tell you, we're not healthy. The church is sick. The church is defeated. The church has little influence. We're not turning our world upside down. And that's not our destiny. Our destiny is to turn the world upside down. Our destiny is to change our world for Jesus. Our destiny is to go into the kingdom of darkness and plunder what is His. Do I sound like a revolutionary today? You can just call me Fidel. Fidel Judd. George. What were you going to say? No? George. Now let's look over in Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4 is a key for a disciple. Key for a called one, a follower of Jesus. Proverbs 4 verse 20 says this, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." So a believer is taught and trained in the Word of God. The Word is primary. It's our Matthew 4 says it's our food that we live on. The Word of God feeds our spirit. It renews and washes our minds and our souls. And it brings health and healing to our bodies. The Word is the incorruptible seed. The Word is what produces faith. The Word is what is planted in men's and women's hearts that brings transformation. And so part of God's dream is for His words to be living and breathing on the inside of the believers. And that it's a priority. It is like food. We have meals every day. We have to have it to function, to be successful, to be strong. Now, another part of God's dream. Now, this is controversial in the body of Christ, but I don't really care. I'm going to say it anyway. Over at Acts chapter 1. Let's go over there. What am I doing right now? I'm laying the foundation. I'm laying out God's dream. What God desires to see in the earth today. Acts chapter 1 verse 5 says this, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Not only does He want you full of His Word, God desires for you to be full of the Holy Spirit. And when you baptize somebody, you know, when I baptize people, you immerse them in water. Well, God wants us immersed. He wants us filled to the full with His Holy Spirit. What does verse 8 say? What's the purpose of that filling up? Verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power." Everybody say power.
Power.
"You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Not as He wants us full with His Word. He wants us full with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to be able to speak in tongues. He wants us to have revelation of His Word. He wants us to be empowered, given boldness, to be courageous. A witness is someone who shares what they've experienced. He's talking about Jerusalem is where you live. Judea represents your state or your nation. Samaria represents the forgotten, the down and out, the poor, the refugees. Those considered inferior. That's Samaria.
China. Some of us are called to go to Africa and India and bring the gospel. But all of us have a part in this to be witnesses.
All right. Now, all of what we do has to fall into this next part of what I'm sharing of God's dream. 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. You can write these scriptures down and go home and study them. 1 John 4, verse 16. And this is a crucial part of what we're doing here at Good News Church. 1 John 4, 16, Amplified, says this, "And we know, understand, recognize, are conscious of, by observation and by experience, and believe, adhere to, and put faith in, and rely on, the love God cherishes for us. God is love, And he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. Whatever we do for God in this earth has to be based on his love. And the way that we are changed in our lives is to let his love saturate us, to hear it, to meditate on it. And as it changes us, then Mark 12 happens. Mark 12, verse 30 says this, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." That whatever we do it by love. We don't go out condemning people. We don't go out judging people. We don't go out criticizing people. We go out in love. He's forgiven us. He's been gracious to us. He's been kind to us. He's been generous to us. And as that, just again, we experience that, and you just get so filled up, you just can't help for that love to overflow in you and come out towards others. And in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about, I won't read it, but it talks about even if we have the gifts of the Spirit, but we have not love, we are nothing. Even if we give to the poor and we give our body to be burned, but we have not love, we are nothing. If we speak in tongues and have the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God operating through us, but we have not love, we are nothing. So he desires for his love to be manifest and demonstrated in the earth. All right. We made it. Now, let's talk about the vision and the mission of Good News Church. Because if we don't know that and understand that and have that for a foundation, then none of what I'm about to read means anything. So what is our mission? What's the assignment that God has given to Good News Church? Mission is what we're supposed to be doing. When a squad or a platoon is given a mission, it's an assignment. It's a job. It's what they're supposed to be doing. So God's given us a mission. And some of you may know it, some of you don't. But the mission's actually on the front of your bulletin. But what Good News Church is supposed to be doing, who knows it? Who knows our mission? What is it, Nate? Jose? Neil? Terry?
Empowering people to give life. This is what we do here. Have you noticed on our sign, our new sign out front, what does it say? We changed it. A life-giving church. Why do we consider ourselves a life-giving church? Because we're empowering people, we're empowering believers, we're empowering disciples to give life. Now the word empowered means this. It means to give someone the authority or the power to do something. When you're empowered to do a job, you've been given the authority and the power to carry out that job. It means to enable. To make someone stronger or more confident. When you're empowered, you're stronger, you're more confident, you're bold. And controlling their life and claiming their rights. Now last week we showed that speech, part of the speech of Martin Luther King. Wasn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. I have a dream. What was he talking about there? He was talking about empowerment. He was talking about people claiming their rights that they've been given by the Constitution. And wasn't it ironic as we showed that clip last week and we look around here at Good News Church,
I think Martin Luther King may be happy. Isn't it interesting that we have an African-American president 50 years later who just won his second term? So I think some people got empowered. Do we have it totally right? No, we still have a ways to go. You can't let up. But generations of people were empowered. We need some empowerment going on in the church. We need training. We need teaching. We need a culture of empowerment where people aren't relying on someone else to do it for them, where people stand up and take their rights. And they find out why they're here. John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So the enemy's mission is to steal, kill, and destroy. His mission is to bring death. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. And that's a life overflowing with good things. To be alive. To have joy. To have peace. To have power. To have authority. To know how to handle situations. And not only be able to handle situations for yourself, but if someone comes to you and needs help, you can reach out to your brother and sister or the other person and you can give them life. And there is no greater life than bringing someone from death to life. I would say that's giving life if someone is sick and now they're healed. I would say that's, you know, giving life if someone has a need and you're used by God to meet that need. See, we live in a society of takers. It's all about me and consumers and what we can use it up, and then we want more. But see, this is not the church. The church is, we're blessed by God for a purpose to be a blessing, not just to be blessed. And we've been given this life. We've been given eternal life. See, eternal life doesn't begin the day you die. It begins the day you're born again. God's life comes into the inside of you and changes you. And you become a new creation. And you're now God and God's family. I'm a son of God. Woo! It's dancing time. Do you know who you are? Do you know? Empowering. Now we have a lot of people here are getting it. A lot of people growing this, but I mean, we got to be more focused than ever. I have such expectancy. Well, you know, hear this from me every year, but I have such expectancy about 2013. I want to see more people empowered. I want to see young people empowered. I want to see our babies out there winning one for the Gipper. I'll go, Pastor Matt. So our vision here. Vision is the mission out in the future. What the mission, what we're doing, empowering people to give life, what that looks like out in the future. Does that make sense? Vision is future sight. Future is what you desire to be, but then I'll add this, what it must be. Vision is what must happen. Not just a good idea, but it must happen. You don't see the difference? There's something burning in you. It's got to happen. The world has got to have this. All right. Pastor's so intense today. I had my kashi today. Man, when I have my kashi, I'm unstoppable. All right. Breakfast of Champions. We'll be selling kashi in the resource center. 10 grams of fiber. 10 grams of protein. Tastes like cardboard. But hey, we don't care. Got to fuel this machine here. Make sure it's running smoothly. When you're 50, you care about all these things. Okay. When I was 30, I didn't eat kashi. Captain Crunch. I don't know what it was. All right, what's the vision? The vision is we see a community of believers strongly connected to God and to each other. And you know, this part of the vision is one of the toughest. It's one of the hardest parts. You just got to pray and lead by example and keep on loving and keep on loving, keep on praying. Anytime you have more than one person in a room, it's tough. Who's got the perfect marriage here? Tanya and Kelly have the perfect marriage. Well, I want to be coming to your class. It took a while. But being married, two people, it should be easy, right? We love each other. But anytime you got one more than one person, and Satan doesn't even want two people to be together, much less a group of people. See, a community strongly connected to God and to each other. Because if you're connected to God, you'll be connected to people. Empowered by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, talked about that, to be what? Able ministers, reaching their worlds and beyond, to infinity and beyond. We're raising up a bunch of Buzz Lightyears. Reaching their worlds and beyond with what? The good news of Jesus Christ, and we have good news. So here's part of the dream. We'd be closer to God. I want you to know Him. I want you to grow in your relationship with Him. I want you to grow closer to each other. Is the prayer about this church. When you come in here, anytime we get together, that God's love is here and flowing in this ministry. And love never fails. That we're, you know, one of our values here says open arms. And it's the image of the prodigal son and the father running towards the son with open arms. Lord, that we would be a church of open arms. No matter what color, what race, what education, what background, no matter who you are, you're welcome. And we love you. And that's the basis. That's the beginning. And as people feel that, they open themselves up to God and open themselves up to the Word. Closer to each other, growing in the Word of God, filled with, that every member, every believer here would be filled with and following the Holy Spirit. That every one of us would be a minister. A minister means servant. Being Jesus. Isn't this what it's about, Jose? Being Jesus to a lost and dying world. To be a light in a dark place. Going into every man's world. See, what we talk about here, and God does things every time we get together. But Sunday service, and Wednesday service, and School for Life, and any other activities we do here at Good News Church is practice for the game. And the game is out there in your world. And we want you ready. Prepare. steal, kill, and destroy everything that means anything to you. But we want to teach you here that you've got authority over Him and you can put Him in His place. Going into every man's world, homes, neighborhoods, businesses, schools, sports teams. That we're living the good news and sharing the good news. That we have life. I want you as sheep here at this congregation, and I don't say that in a derogatory way. I don't look down upon you, and I have the utmost respect for the people of Good News Church. We love you. We're for you. We're praying for you, doing everything we can help you to be a successful believer. But I want you to have the life of God on the inside of you. And again, where it's so much so that it's overflowing to people around you. So that's the mission and the vision. All right. What do I see for 2013? We've gone from God's dream to the dream that He's given us. Now let's talk specifically about 2013. And I want to share with you, I just wrote these down last night, some of the things. And He's showing you things as well. But some of the things that I see for 2013. I see a community of believers growing in their relationship with God. I see you being trained and taught, not just here, but on your own, private devotions and study, growing in your relationship with God. That by the end of this year, you'll feel closer to Him. That you'll be more intimate to Him, with Him. He'll be talking to you. You'll be talking to Him. What I see in 2013, I see us growing in relationships with each other. And the Bible word is the word fellowship. And what that means is sharing. I see us sharing with each other like never before. Sharing of our hearts, sharing our stories, sharing our resources, sharing what we know. And then part of sharing is then let others share with you. So I'm believing for that part about strongly connected to each other. I'm believing for that specifically in 2013. This third thing is what I see, and I love this because I want this to be my testimony. That we would be passionate about God's plan, His Word, His ways. And this is the way that it came to me and the way I saw it. That the fire of God would be in your belly. Passionate about Him. Passionate about His ways. Passionate about... You know what I'm talking about? Are you passionate about something? We were... had gone up to Charlotte to deliver one of our puppies. And then we saw some family members and kind of hung out for a little bit. Then on our way back, we looked at a car for Harry. Does Harry deserve a car? Let's see here. I don't know. Look at that face. We stopped and looked at this car, and it was an amazing vehicle. How well it was taken care of. Low mileage. The guy was actually fanatical about this car and his cars. I mean, I don't know if you ever met somebody that's fanatical about something. I mean, he was passionate. He was having us look underneath the car and in the hood. And, you know, and one time Harry's talking about how plush the carpet is. I mean, we're looking at the car. We don't even know what we're looking at, but we're like, wow, it looks great. Because he was so excited. See, that's what I'm talking about. All right, let me put it in terms that a lot of the men will understand. Georgia Bulldogs. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's so exciting about a bulldog? I was driving in the neighborhood one time, you know, just during the football season. There's two girls out there, and they have Georgia flags. They're just waving them at cars. I'm like, don't you got, the game is playing. I'm like, got anything better to do? Come to my house and clean my bathroom. I mean, do something. What is it you'll be so passionate about? You're going to go up there and wave a flag over it. Well, whatever that means to you, I want you to be passionate about God. And not just have the Christian symbol on the back of your car. That's not what I'm talking about. I see people making a difference in their world for Jesus. Because you're there, you bring His peace, you bring His love, you bring His gospel. That you're an ambassador for Christ. And you make a difference in your world. This next one here is what I see is everyone involved in some kind of life-giving small group. Some kind of prayer group. It could be just with another person. Prayer group. Is it really 10-2? I need to get moving here. Prayer group, Bible study, support group. Some kind of life-giving, nourishing, challenging, accountability, listening and giving group. I want everybody to be involved in one of those. I want you to see your part in the Great Commission. I want you to see in 2013 more of what your purpose is and what God's plan is for your life. I want to see in 2013 more people stepping into leadership here at Good News Church. That there's people willing to take more responsibility. And even though it's more challenging and more difficult and it's more of a burden, the people stepping up and taking more responsibility for the kingdom of God. I want to see more and more of us transformed by His love and letting that compassion flow out to help others. I want to see more testimonies, hear more testimonies of people being involved in lives being changed, saved, healed, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to hear more testimonies than ever before. I want to see this church to be more loving, more gracious. I want us to be more healthy, more caring, more supportive, more friendly. Desire to see that in 2013. And then I want to see the I Give Life message go out beyond Good News Church and Augusta. I want it to go to the world. And He's already opening up doors through the I Give Life course and other different things. But I believe that we have a message, and what God's doing here at Good News Church needs to be reproduced in other parts of the world. So I'm believing specifically to see that happen in a greater way. We saw some things in 2012. I want to see it this year. And some of these things that I see us, branching out on radio and the website. James, we have live streaming, branching out on some of these things. But one of the biggest things that I see for 2013, that I'm going to turn it over to Susie, and I really believe this, one of the biggest things I see for 2013 is I see the hopes and dreams that God has given you to come to pass in a tangible way. So that you'd have a dream, that you'd have a plan, but then part of that plan, of course not all of it, but part of it will come to pass in 2013. So I've been praying about your hopes and your dreams coming to pass in 2013. So these are just a few of the things that I'm seeing, but I want you to know we have a vision, we have a mission, and it's time for all of us to find out what our part is. We've got to believe God for this on purpose. It doesn't just happen because we say it, but then we start coming together. Let's start talking about it. Let's start praying it. Let's start confessing it. Let's start getting our faith involved. And let's see what He can do in 2013.
If you will, I'll turn over to Philippians chapter 2. I just got a couple of things I'm going to share and then we'll close. Philippians chapter 2, I want to read a verse there. I'm going to read from the New Living. The beginning of January, we started just taking a special time of fasting and praying in our house. And specifically, I want to share these two things with you. The Lord's laid on my heart to pray, because you hear a message like this and you're kind of like, oh, Pastor Matt, he's all excited. Don't you like it when he's all excited? And it's kind of almost like you can become an observer instead of being involved yourself. And I just want to share with you how, when you leave here, how you can be involved, what you can do. And the first one is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. It's the scripture. I love the scripture. It says, for God is working in you. Aren't you glad God's working in you? It's not just up to you. It's not just up to me to pull this off, to get us into his plan for us. You know, we've been talking all month about God's plans for us, and sometimes it can be overwhelming because it's just like another thing to do. But God is working in you. And just like he read in Mark 16, when the believers went out, the Lord worked with them. God's working with us, and he's working in us. Say that. Say, God is working with me. And God is working in me. It says here, for God is working in you, giving you the desire. Because some of you this morning don't even really have the desire. Giving you the desire, the want to, that passion he's talking about, stirring that up in you. God's working in you to give you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. The whole first part of this message, Pastor taught about what pleases God, what God's plan is. God's working in us, and he's working in us to give us the desire, the passion, and the power to do what pleases him. So one of the things that I have been praying specifically this month, and I invite you to do this. This is why I'm sharing this. I invite you, I feel like the Lord instructed me to share this with you and to invite you to pray along with us. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Just pray a prayer that simply goes like this. God, I want to cooperate with you. I want you to work in me to give me the desire and the power to do what pleases you. Just that simple. Just work in me. Your word said you would work in me. I know that my will is involved, because if we don't allow him to do it, he won't do it. Just say, I'm willing to do what it is, what pleases you. That's what I want to do. I want to do what pleases you. Work in me and give me the desire, that passion, that fire in the belly I heard Pastor Matt talk about. Give that to me. Work in me to work that out in my life and enable me. Give me the power, that empowerment that he's been talking about. Give me that so that I would do what's pleasing to you. It's just simply a prayer that you pray, that you believe, that you on purpose ask him to do. This is not rocket science, people. You're just simply saying to him on purpose, intentionally from your heart, just work in me, give me that passion, give me the desire, and give me the power to do what pleases you. I want to be involved with your plan. I want to do what pleases you. Just talk to God like that. Leave out the these and the thous. I don't think he understands them any more than you do. Just leave those out. He doesn't speak old English either, buddy. So just go ahead and talk to him like you talk to your friends, your loved ones, and tell him, this is what I want to do. It's very simple. That's what prayer is, talking to God, particularly from his word. Now, here's something else. Let's go over to Matthew. This is just another scripture I want to give you. Something I'm praying, and I invite you just to join with me and pray in Matthew chapter 9. This is pretty familiar around here. You've heard this. If you've prayed with us a lot, you've definitely heard this. Matthew chapter 9, and we'll go down towards the end of the chapter. Let me pull mine up here. And I'll read this in the New King James, if I can get that. Ha-ha. And verse 35 says this. It says, then Jesus went about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. That's a good picture. That's a really good picture of what the body of Christ should look like. And not just the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, but believers. That's what believers should be doing. And then this in verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Now, if that's what he saw 2,000 years ago, imagine what he sees when he looks today. When the Lord looks out at the earth today, imagine what he feels if he saw this in that day. Imagine, look at the depravity of humanity. Look at the hurting people on planet earth. Look at how scattered that we've gotten. Imagine what he must be sensing and feeling today. The compassion he must have for people today. And then what was the response? The response was, he said to his disciples, to his followers, to those believers, to those people that are supposed to be me and you, those disciples. He said to them, the harvest truly is plentiful, but here's the problem. The problem is not that we don't have enough people to minister to. The problem isn't that, you know, the human race is all fixed up and they don't need any help. That's not the problem. The problem is the laborers, the disciples. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, verse 38, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out his laborers into his harvest. One thing that we have prayed here many times, and you've been taught to pray this, is Lord, we pray that you would send out your laborers in the harvest. But I want to invite you this morning to do something a little different than that, to add to that and to pray this. This is what I've been praying. Lord, show me my place in the harvest. And get me in to my place in the harvest. Get me where I am supposed to be in the harvest. Because there are many places you could be in the harvest. But the right place for you is the place you should be. It's the place you're going to function the best, place you're going to be most productive, the place you're going to bear the most fruit, the place you're going to be most pleasing to him is in your place in the harvest. My mom was telling me the other day, my mother grew up in South Georgia. And they grow tobacco, or they did a whole lot of tobacco back in, when she was growing up, back in the 1700s. And just teasing. Look, she gives it to me just as bad. Don't worry. There's no problem there. Anyway, she was telling me what one thing that she learned to do when it came time to harvest the tobacco, there were different people. People would go out and they were trained to do this. They would snap the leaves and they would do certain things with them. They'd lay them. She told me about how they'd lay them in the cart. And then in order for the tobacco leaves to be dried and crumbled up and turned into the cigarettes that people smoked, there was a process, and part of it was they would bring them in and they would tie them together and they would hang them. And there was a big process with that. It wasn't done mechanically. And she was talking about how she was trained as a hander. So it's in the harvest of the tobacco and she was trained as a hander. Does anybody know what that is? Just somebody else born in the 1700s. Just kidding. And so she was telling me her older sister was a tire. And so what they would do is they would pick the leaves up, and you had to get, just the right amount of leaves to pick up out of the cart where they were and hand them to the tire in a certain way. And a hander would pick them up, know just how many to pick up, and hand them to the tire in a certain way. And a tire would loop them around somehow or another, and they would end up being hung up to dry or to be cured. And that was her job. So there were all these steps, and everybody had their place. And she was saying that she never learned to tie, but she knew how to hand. She was a hander. She didn't know how to be a tire. Well, I'm just thinking about us. In this whole harvest that God has going on planet Earth, some of you are tires, some of you are handers, some of you are the snappers that snap the leaves, some of you push the cart. We all are working for the ultimate purpose of the harvest, but we all have a place. And God knows how he's equipped you, designed you, what he's put in you to be part of the harvest. Ultimately, all of us are to share the gospel because that's what believers do. All of us are to heal the sick because that's what believers do. All of us are to speak in tongues and use the name of Jesus to drive out the work of the enemy because that's what believers do. But then you are specialized. There is something in you that's specifically gifted and put in purpose for this time and this day and in this harvest that's on planet Earth right now. You and me, God put something in us. And so I've been praying and I invite you to join with me. Father, show me my place and put me in my place in the harvest. I want to be in your place you've designed for me, the place you've designed. I want to be in my place. I don't want somebody else in my place. And I tell you what I really don't want. I don't want my place to be vacant. And I'm just sitting around. Lord, use me. And not doing what I should be doing. And I sure don't want to be off playing somewhere when there's work to be done. And it's eternal work and it's valuable work. And it is work that means the difference between somebody spending eternity forever from now on until infinity in hell or in heaven. How many of you have loved ones you want to see them go to hell? What? How many of you have people you work with? Oh, they need to go to hell. How many of you think, oh, there's whole nations of people. They should just go to hell, right? No, God is not willing that one would be lost. And if that's His will, that's my will. I'm not willing that one would be lost. And I have something about that in me. I have a part to play. And I'm not the only one. You do too. I think we saw that in the first part of the service. You have a part in this. And so how do you just sit around and say, wonder what I should do? No, I tell you something you can do. It's just pray a simple prayer. Father, show me my place and move me into my place in the harvest. Position me where you want me to go. And it's not my will, but your will. It's not what I think, it's what you think, but I'm willing, I'm able, here am I, send me, show me what to do and move me. I'm telling you, that's the kind of, we see that in the scripture, just very simple prayers. Here am I, Lord, send me. Just very simple things. And if you would begin to pray those two things, that God would work in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him, and asking Him to show you and put you in your place in His harvest, I think that what we just heard would come to pass. I think that you would find your place, because He just talked about a life-giving group of people you would be connected to. Part of, you know, like my mom, part of her job is she was connected to her part. She couldn't be a hander on her own. She had to be connected to somebody to hand to. Otherwise, that's a silly job. You're handing it to who? But then the tire, that person's job, they couldn't tie unless somebody was handing it to them. Do you see that? Everybody had a part, and they're all about. Every part is connected to another part. And you want to be connected where God has for you to be connected, because then it'll actually work. And it'll be a good place, and it'll be productive. And Ephesians 4 that he read earlier talks about coming together with joints, with people making connections with each other and what we can produce together. And that's how we're, you know, that's the plan. That's God's plan. It's God's plan at Good News Church. It ought to be your plan. Where can I connect? And just simply that, because you can't figure it out. I'm telling you, I've tried. Don't waste your time. You can't figure it out. You have to look to Him. Position me. Put me in my place. Where do you want me to be? And then give me the passion, the desire. Work in me. Give me the power. Empower me to do what it is I need to do when I get there. Woo! That's good preaching. I'm glad to see y'all so enthusiastic today. Praise God. All right. Well, why don't we stand?